Hey, how was your guys' week? Good? That's it? Just good? One good, and everybody else like, oh, it was good. Fantastic. We got a fantastic over here. Good. So, hey, let's pray and get into this. I got a lot to share with you, and I want to make sure I get it within the time. If I go over, then Chris just is like, Mark, you know, so I'm trying to avoid that. So let's pray and let's get into this. Father God, we come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the way that you work in our lives. I thank you for this group that is here. Lord, I just ask that you would move in your spirit in an incredible way. That, Father, that you would help us to grasp truly how much you truly love us. That we would be rooted and firm in that foundation. That, Father, that it would help us to face our struggles and our trials. That we would see everything as a gift that you have given us. And that, Lord, it is for us to be able to enjoy even the pain and the sorrow and the reality that you bring us through it. Father, thank you for the hope of our future. We ask that, Lord, as we dig into your word, that you lead us and guide us in that. And that, Father, you would bring those realities into our mind. That we would live victorious. And so, Lord, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. We've been working through this whole thing and looking at transformation. And this section of Scripture, I'm going to read through it here. And to be honest, it has a lot to do with transformation in what we're getting into right here. So, Ephesians chapter 3, starting down here in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his gracious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people, holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immensely more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever. Amen. This chunk is a short little prayer for the Ephesians, but there's something that's really in the midst of it that really we need to be able to grasp. As you look down this scripture here, to be honest, it talks a lot about being rooted and established in his love, to be able to grasp his love. The culture that we live in, we have a hard time with love. Love is one of those things that media talks about, that the world talks about, that, you know, we know that it's a powerful subject, and to be honest, sometimes it's really hard for us to grasp the reality of what love really is. If you think about it, love is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, themes of all Scripture. It winds its way through everything. As you guys know, the most well-known verse in the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Starts off with that. Not only that, Jesus talks about the world will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. Not by how you give, not by how often you go to church, not by how all these other standards that we often measure, but it's out of love for one another. Scripture later on tells us that whatever you do, unless you do it in love, it is pointless. It's like a chasing after the wind. The reality is that we need to do everything rooted in love and an understanding of love. Not only that, if you dig into it all the more as you go through Scripture, John talks about it in the sense that if you do not love, then you do not know God, because God is love. Love is a huge subject, but I would also say it's probably one of the most misunderstood subjects, because we have so much noise that comes at us, so many different points of view, so many different things that we think are love that fall away and are not love. We don't fully grasp it. You know, if you think about it, a lot of you guys have kind of grown up in the church, or you've ever grabbed a King James Bible and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. You go, oh, this is a great chapter, and you dig in and you open it up in King James, and it doesn't say love, it says charity. And I used to wonder about that. Wait a minute, love, charity. So is love and charity, is it how? Because to be honest, my generation, if I think about charity, I don't think about love. I don't want anybody's charity. But I do want to be loved. So it's really hard for me to even kind of mix that together. What does that mean? How does that work? How do we start to put these things together to really understand what the biblical concept of love is really about? When I was a kid, there was a famous preacher that came in, and I remembered his whole theme, and it stuck with me way back when I was little. And his theme is that love is a decision. Plain and simple. Love is a decision. It's not all this other stuff that we chase after or anything. It is a decision. It is what we decide to do. And I agree with that. But I don't think it's the fullness of what the Scripture teaches either. If I was to talk about it, I would say love is a decision to be genuinely concerned about an individual that leads us to action that fulfills itself in feeling. It's the reality that I make a choice on loving somebody and their best life, or their concern for them, or however my heart goes out to them, that they would be well. But it doesn't just stop with words and my longing, but it actually goes to a place of action. And that action, that when I step into that action and I act upon my decision to love somebody, that's when the feelings come along. Now, I honestly think this is probably, at least for me anyways, is the best definition I can come up with love that is biblical, that I can walk through, and I'll let you know why. Because often in this world, we do it backwards. We have the feelings towards somebody that leads us to act in a certain way, that brings us to this place that we want them to make a decision, or we have to make a decision about what's going on. That kind of love messes us up because it's a selfish love. It's a love that's drawn out of who I am and my feelings, and so therefore I'm acting upon this feeling to be able to love or do whatever towards this person, which is generally out of a selfishness, but yet when they don't respond in the right way, then I make a decision on whether they really care about me or whether I really care about them, which is the totally opposite of a biblical love. See, if you think about it, I want to share some verses with you that kind of pull this whole concept together. Here's one in Matthew chapter 5, starting down here in verse 43. This is Jesus. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for them who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now we read through that and we realize, man, the way that God loves us is immense. You know, he shows this thing here about just the general grace of God, our seasons, our life, our all these different things that come about. But the point that I want to get at is Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. That is the opposite of feeling. Not only does he say, I want you to love your enemies, he goes on and says, I want you to pray for them. Here's a cool little tip. If you ever struggle with somebody, you ever struggle with a group of people, struggle with certain individuals, start praying for them. It's Start praying for them. I mean, earnestly praying for them. It is amazing how when you start praying for somebody, you actually begin to love them. As believers, we're supposed to love each other. You have somebody in the church you have a hard time with, and it happens. Start praying for them. And if it's me, you better pray twice as hard. Start praying for them. It's amazing when you start to pray for somebody how it begins to change the way you think about an individual. See, when you take the time and make a decision to love, here's an example. We got a baby in the church right up here sitting on Steve's lap. This precious little guy. He's hard not to look at and love. But here's the reality. Reality is he was loved before he even showed up. There was this 9-month period of carrying him around where you thought about him, where you prepped for him, where you got all ready for this child that was coming. And when our kids show up, you can't help but love them. When other babies show up, it's like, oh yeah, they're cute. But you don't love them like you love your own kids. Because you put 9 months into prepping for it. Sometimes even longer than that. Prepping for this child to show up. This anticipation. And to be honest, you don't know what they're going to turn out to be. You don't know if they're going to break your heart. You don't know if they're going to be out there and be in trouble. You don't know what kind of lifestyle they're going to live. But for some crazy reason, you love them anyways. You care about them and everything that they do. And you long for their well-being. Because somewhere along the line, before they even showed up, you made a decision about them. And you cared about them. See, there is an ability for us to actually love somebody that we have not even met. Because we begin to think about them and we pray about them and we hope for them and we get to a place where we have this longing for their well-being. It is a decision that we make. If you have a hard time loving somebody, it's because you haven't made that decision. You haven't put it in your mind that you care for somebody and want them to succeed in life. And as believers in Christ, we're supposed to be known for our love. There should be a part of us that is caring for those that are on the outside. There should be a part of us that is longing for the well-being of those that are far from God. That we're longing to see them renewed, or we're longing for them to come and be healed. That we're longing for them to be able to understand what God has for them. When we start to have that attitude towards those that are on the outside, it's amazing how our life changes. You guys heard me say it before, nobody feels loved by a picket sign. But yet sometimes that's what we are motivated to do. We got to go out there and make things righteous and moral. The reality is we need to go out there and show love. Until we can begin to figure out how to love and have genuine concern for somebody out there that has different ideas than us, different lifestyle than us, different understanding, to be honest, they're not going to know our love. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies. Tell me if that's not a decision. That's why he says, be like your Father who is perfect. Because God loved us and made a decision to love us, not because we were lovable. And that's how we're supposed to respond. Is to be able to have this decision inside of us that says, I want to care, I want to reach out, I want to the well-being for this individual. But it doesn't just stop with this well-being. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 16 up here. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need or has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words and speech, but with action and in truth. See, love represents itself through action. I think that's why it talks about charity, to be honest, when you look at the King James Version and you go through charity, because it's action. The reality is love is connected to action. If I care about somebody, then how I respond and how I act towards that individual is a representation. It is an outflow of my love, my decision. For God so loved the world, even though we were his enemies. Right? God so loved the world that he gave. It's an action. See, if we gather together as a church and say, hey, we love people, but yet we never actually step out and do anything. Hey, we love you, wish you well. It's tough. How do you show love unless you're in community? How do you show love unless you spend time with each other? How do you show love unless you do things with each other? You can't. The love that you have for people that are far from you is usually a love that is reciprocated because somewhere in the past you had a relationship that you did things with and were around and so forth. And so you grew to a place where you had a genuine concern for somebody else that was out there. It is hard to love somebody you've never met because there's no way for you to be able to express it, even if you've made that decision. A lot of times when we think about this, we think, as he talks here, about helping somebody in their need and helping somebody exactly where they're at. But here's the reality. Many of you guys have heard of the love languages, right? As you go through the love languages, these are expressions of our love, that we can serve somebody. Some people love gifts. Some people words of affirmation. Some it's touch. Some is quality time. These are all love languages. And they're huge, especially in a marriage, because sometimes your love language is not how you receive love or how you give love. Sasha, like on Father's Day, she used to do this when we were first married. She would get up and she would like run around and try to get the house all perfect. And then she would try to like make a meal for me. And then she would like do all this stuff. And she was just constantly busy going here and there and there and doing all this stuff trying to serve me. And it drove me crazy because I don't feel loved by being served. I really don't. I feel loved by quality time. And so she was running around doing all this stuff, trying to show love to me, and I wasn't picking up on it. And I get really frustrated going, listen, just sit down next to me. Eat with me. Stop getting up. Stop running around. Let's go on a walk together, side by side. Quality time. Talk with me. Stop running. You know? Then all of a sudden, then things began to change because she was trying to love me, but the way that she was doing it, it wasn't connecting. And so love language is huge. We all express and receive love in different ways. You know, I read in here one of the love languages is touch. The bad thing about love language of touch, as soon as I say that, most guys go, oh, you mean sex? It's not sex. It's actually touch. It's being able to be around somebody and touch them, hug them, be there with them. And it's amazing, especially going through COVID, how many people we have isolated in our community has been so long since they've had a hug, a handshake, and people are dying on the vine. Love is stopping and shaking somebody's hand. So it's not that we have to go way outside the box and go, oh man, I got to sell all my possessions and give it all to the poor. And remember, actually, 1 Corinthians says, unless you do it in love, it's pointless. Mm-hmm. So the reality is, though, is if I have genuine concern for somebody, then I'm going to act on their behalf. Sometimes it's not to give them things because they don't need that anymore and they need to get out of something. Not just another handout. But it takes an action. It takes stepping in and being able to express this love in a different way. When you think about love, how do you feel? Right now, if you think about love, how do you feel? If I'm loved, if I think about God's love, I feel warm. I feel safe. feel at peace. I feel comforted. Hopeful. There's a place of being able to step into God's love that is just surpasses everything else and gives you that confidence and that place of being known and fully appreciated and fully loved and accepted that is so sweet. That's what love does to us. Is that when we actually step into what love has for us, it's amazing how it begins to change how we feel. Look over here, Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 3. Go down to verse 17. Right here in the middle of this passage that I read before. Verse 17 says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love." Rooted and established in love. When you think about Christ's love for you, when you think about the Heavenly Father's love for you, do you feel safe and warm? You feel comfortable, accepted? Or are you just a hair nervous? Feel maybe a little judged? See, Paul's prayer for these guys is that they would grasp God's love for them. The whole breadth of it. That they would be able to grasp the concept not only of how God loves them, but be able to let it rooted inside them. In other words, change the way that they are. This would be that transformation. See, when we know that we are loved by God, it is crazy how insecurities begin to float away. When we are loved by God, it is crazy how we can battle against the world concept of what religion is, which is a whole lot of doing instead of being. It's, I got to do this to please God, and I got to do this, and so forth. And there are places where it talks about pleasing. But I would challenge this. Like, it is impossible to please God without faith. But it says, because he must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That is the faith that comes to a place of salvation, where it's like, I believe that God is there and he loves me. That pleases him, because he does not want somebody that rejects him. But often when we think about pleasing somebody, we go to the other side of thinking, well, if I'm not pleasing them, then I'm making them upset. But when you look through scriptures, it says his love doesn't change for us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing at all. And so the reality is it's not a thing of pleasing and disgust. It's a reality that God has a perfect way for us. And when we walk in the midst of what he has for us, when we seek first the kingdom, when we grasp what he has for us, when we begin to surrender our life to him, it's not a thing of, well, I'm pleased with you, I'm unpleased with you. It is a thing that we are actually walking the way that he's created us to walk. And it is a good thing. But a lot of times what we feel like is like, ooh, if I mess up, God hates me. The reality is when I mess up, God looks at me and goes, you're my child. I still love you. Do we need to walk in a holy, and do we need to? You bet. We need to strive for these things. God's called us to a higher standard. But it's a higher standard not of trying to please somebody that isn't pleasable. It's a higher standard of us being able to grasp what he wants to do in our life. To be able to have the freedom that he gives us. To be able to overcome these sins and the desires that so easily entangle us. And be able to be walking in a place where he wants to give us victory. How you feel about God's love is super, super important. Super important. If you are in a place in front of God and you have you should have reverence, but not a fear of judgment. Because perfect love drives out judgment. You should be able to come before God and realize that he wants the best for you. He wants to bless you. He cares about you. And this isn't like, oh, okay, I'm going to live my best life now. I'm going to live however I want and get all these riches and I'm going to do all. That's baloney. That's the way the world thinks. That's not what's best for you. It's more important that we actually change the way we think than have all this material, physical stuff. I know a young man that used to really get hung up on the fact that, man, I'm praying and my business is doing good, so God's blessing me and now things must be going right. It's like, oh, you ever realize the devil can bless you that way too? Because see, when everything goes right and you get all the good stuff, a lot of times that's where we get to a place where we don't need God anymore. It's not until we're actually in a place of desperation that we need God. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to cry out to Him constantly to realize that He is the provider of all things, that He is the one that delivers us. He's the one that gives us breath and everything else. Whatever other B word I can come up with. So there it is. This is this place and reality of being able to stop and go, okay, God loves me totally and completely. He cannot love me anymore, and He will not love me any less. I love that reality. He loves me. And in Him, I am secure. He's got me totally and completely. Nothing will separate me from His love. And if I am holding on to Him, there is a place and a reality that I am comfortable and I am warm and I am taken care of and my future is secure regardless of all the chaos that's going on around me. And it changes the way that I think. And what's really crazy about that is ultimately that's the only thing you have control over. That's the only thing you have control over is how you think. God's got all the rest of this. And He loves you. And you can receive blessing, and in the midst of that blessing, the way you think, you can receive it as a curse. But when you're able to stop and go, wait a minute, God loves me. He's got me through this. He loved me while I was His enemy. He made a choice. See, that's what's really cool about it. It's not on His feeling. He made a choice. And the fact that you have chosen Him, you are now His son and daughter. Because you have chosen Him, and you are His son and daughter, He will never reject you. He has put His seal, the Holy Spirit, on you, that you are His. He chose you, and now you are His, all the more the reason why He should love you and take care of you. Begin to walk in the reality of what He has for us. That is Paul's prayer, that we would be rooted and established in His love. Because when I'm loved, then I can love others. When I am secure, then I can act in security. When I'm insecure, what do? This last weekend, I was with Andy, and we went to a game store, and we had a little time to kill, and so we were talking to the owner, and he pulled out this game, and we're playing this game, and the first game, you know, I beat Andy. It was pretty easy. It's like, but Andy only came in halfway, so it's like not like a real game. So then we were going to play another game. And the second game, second move, Andy slaughters me. He slaughters me so bad for the next 40 minutes as we finish the game, there is absolutely nothing I can do. And it's like, this is all. And inside me, I just, you know. Insecurity would be really easy to creep into that because of the frustration. But this is Andy, my brother. And as we're playing this game and he's winning, inside me there's a little bit of me going, I'm really glad he's winning because it's kind of funny that he keeps doing this to me. I know that sounds weird, but this is true. And there's this thing that creeps in. It's like, because I love Andy. And I know Andy loves me, and there's a security in that. And how I play the game really doesn't matter. And so this is kind of funny. That's a small thing in life. But you take that to a job. You take that to a marriage. You take that to any other relationship where you begin to feel insecure. what happens? You strike back out of insecurity because you're trying to be felt, you're trying to be known, you're trying to be understood, and the frustration just gets deeper and deeper because nobody's getting it, and it gets worse, and there's this bit of competition that steps into things, and then it just gets nasty, and you say things you don't even mean, and all because you're out of this place of insecurity. That's why it says love covers over a multitude of sins. Andy, because of my love for you, I cover over a multitude of sins, and I gave. But that's the truth of it. That's how it works. Because I love somebody, it's like, no, that's not a wrong against me. It's okay. Because love brings a security and a safety in that and where you're at in the whole thing. So let's go on here. Got to remember where I'm at. Let's go down here to say I started going off on something. I totally lost where I'm at. Oh, here we go. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 17. This time, let's read 17 and 18 together. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Notice how it went from one person to the whole church. That you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. I think there's a reason why it goes from not just one person that he's addressing to the whole church. That everybody would grasp this reality. Because, see, there's something about that. There's something about the reality that we actually understand and begin to get God's love from other people. See, when Adam was created, what happened? Everything was good. Adam was created and God said, this is not good. Not because of Adam, but because Adam was alone. It's not just about marriage that I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationships, friendships, community. See, we grasp God's love and reality from other people. There's a lot of times when I talk about love up here and talk about all this stuff that some of you have never really experienced being loved and accepted. And so it is really, really difficult. And inside your heart, you long for what it is that I'm talking about, this reality that God would love you so totally and completely because you haven't experienced it before. See, the scriptures tell us that they'll know that we are his disciples by how we love one another, which is really interesting to me because it's not everything else. It's not how we proclaim it. It's not how we, but it's by our actions and our love for each other that the world will look at us and go, oh, they're Christians. That's why they act that way. They're disciples of Christ. That's who he is. That's what he does inside of folks. So I want you to look at these verses here real quick with me. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at this verse here in verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. Notice that last part of that verse there. Whatever you receive, whatever ability you have, whatever talent you've got, whatever it is that God, the Holy Spirit, has gifted you with, you're supposed to use it as a steward. In other words, you're supposed to spend this the way that God would want you to spend it. Invest it the way that God would want you to invest it. You're supposed to spend these things, these talents, these gifts, these as a steward of God's grace. Isn't that crazy? God's grace in various forms. Now think about that a moment. He is literally saying the talents and abilities that you have, all these things where we make this decision whether I'm going to love somebody, I care about them, so I'm going to act upon it. And when I act upon this thing to somebody, this is actually them being able to experience God's grace. You ever thought about that? You are the hands of Christ. When you make a small gesture towards somebody else, when you spend quality time with them, when you give them a hug, when you serve them, when you give them words of affirmation, these love languages that we talked about, when you do that for somebody else, you are acting upon God's graces to somebody else. You are that expression of God's love to other people. This is why He's given us gifts. We often think, I've gotten this gift so that I can serve God in this way. No, He's given you a gift because it's a gift. He's given you a gift so you can enjoy what it means to actually love somebody else and feel loved by somebody else. See, when we start acting in this way and we start helping each other and caring for each other and say little things and we're there and we're spending time with each other and doing things and living life, we begin to feel more secure because we feel the God's love, and it's more easier for us to accept the truths of the Scripture about how He cares about us. When we are isolated, when we are alone, when we separate ourselves from other people, when anybody gets into sin, this is what I hate about church. So when anybody gets into sin or in struggle, they immediately withdraw. And I hate that. Because it's the worst thing you can do. You withdraw. It's like, oh, I'm hurt. I'm withdrawing. Oh, I've done something bad. I withdraw. And as soon as you withdraw yourself from God's grace. Because you're not in community anymore. Church is super important. Being part of church, not just on Sundays through the week, being around God's people, because it's where you experience God's love. You want to dry up and shrivel up in your relationship with God, just remove yourself. If you want to have a life that is you're wondering what the point is and get to a place where you're frustrated and wonder whether God even exists, just withdraw yourself. You want to experience more of His love? You want more of His grace? Stop being busy and actually hang with people. We live the American dream and we go so fast, we don't have time for love. We don't. And it's not good. And we're raising our kids to be the same way. It's a generational sin. We need to be with people. We need to forgive people. We need to get rid of our heart judgment against people and our hatred. We need to devote ourselves to love. And I truly believe, if you look at Scripture, God made a choice over His creation. While we were still His enemies, He loved us. He made a choice and He gave His Son. He acted upon our behalf for our will. And when He acted upon our behalf, the reality of it is on the other side. I don't know about you guys, but when I worship and I'm in the presence of God and I feel His love, that peace that surpasses so many things, the joy, the presence of God, that's the way love is supposed to be. Not the opposite. Or because I have an emotion, I'm going to go act upon something and hopefully they make the right decision. And if they don't, then I reject them. But to be able to make that choice now. You have a choice before you. Whether you're going to walk in it, whether you're going to receive it, whether you're going to surrender to it. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You. We thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You have not left us as orphans, that You've given us the Spirit. And in the Spirit, You tell us that we have this fruit that changes our character, that we are full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Father, I praise You for that, that You have empowered us that way because, Lord, that was not in me without You. So, Lord, help me to use this gift that You have given me. Help me to use this new character, this new being that You have created to be able to express that to other people. That, Father, when we're rejected, that we would love. That, Father, that when we're cursed, that we would love. That, Lord, that we would not care about putting up the picket signs anymore, but, Father, that we'd go across the line and give them a hug. Who cares what everybody else thinks? As long as we are in you and we're focused on what you think, and that, Father, our eyes are cast upon you, and that we would run this race knowing that, Father, you love us totally and completely. Father, this world doesn't understand love. So help us. Help us to truly show it. Help us to shed all the rest of this garbage around us and to put in the most important thing, that everything that we do would be for your glory and out of love. So we surrender it all to you in Jesus' beautiful name.